John chapter 2, 1 to 12. ヨハネ2章1から12。お願いします。
それから3日目に、
Okay, thanks. Okay, I'll just begin in Japanese. We'll translate it after a few minutes into English. さあ、今、ヨハネ2章を学んでいます。この間は1章を読みましたけど、1章は本当にヨハネ福音書のまとめを出しています。1章の中で、ヨハネ福音書の主なポイントは全部出てきますけど、今日は、一番そのまとめが終わったら最初 の、 教えとして出てますので、今日この最初の印、イエス様はこの最初の印をしましたけど、その印は何を教えるかということを今日は学びます。実はヨハネ福音書には7つの印があります。そしてそれと関わるやり取りがあります。からイエス様は何か不思議なこと、印をして、奇跡か、でも奇跡だけではなくて、これは印です。何かを示すための奇跡。そして、それからのやり取り、話す、やり取りによって、ヨハネはイエス様の福音書を教えているわけです。じゃあ今日はその最初の印は創造、そして救い、そして信仰を表していますので、順番でいきましょう。まずはそれから3日目にガリラヤのカナで婚礼であり、そこに婚礼があり、そこにイエスの母がいた。イエスも弟子たちもその婚礼に招かれていた。 OK、多分おそらくイエス様が奉仕し始めたところです。まだほとんどの人はイエス様をそんなに知らないでしょう。その地方の素敵な若者ぐらいの評判があると思いますけど、また彼は今ラビになって、弟子たちが従い始めている方です。しかしこのイエス様は一生で分かったのは、神様は肉体を取ってこの世に来て、そしてこれから、あらゆることを世界に表します。しかしイエス様は最初の印は結婚式で、婚礼でやりました。なぜでしょう。なぜかというと、創世記に神様の働きはそのように始まるわけです。 神様は世界とか動物、空とか全部創造してから人間 に関するその一番最初の働きはアダムとエヴァを作って合わせて、そしてその結婚式を行いました。神様の人間に対して最初の働きは結婚式です。そしてイエス様も結婚式で始めるわけです。マリアはいました、まあ、ヨセフはいなかったということです。なんでヨセフはいなかったということでしょう。まあおそらくまあ、数年前かもしれないけど、彼の父ヨセフは亡くなったでしょう。ヨセフは聖書の中で正しい人として書かれています。じゃあなぜ正しい人なのにまだ若い時に亡くなったでしょう。もちろん神様の目的はあるわけです。イエス様はマタイには王様、マルコにはしもべ、人を使えるものとして表されています。ルカは人間として神様が来たというもので人間として表されていますけど、ヨハネの福音書はイエス様は御子ということを主に伝えているわけです。だからヨハネ福音書の中でたくさんの話は私の父、私の父、私は父の言うことを聞いてそれこそ行っています。イエス様は神様の子、ヤホエは父であることを強調するために、まあ数年前でしょう、この地上のまあお父さんがっかりのヨセフは亡くなる必要はありました。正しいなのに亡くなりました。私たちも、本当にそれを心に留めなければなりません。この世は何のためでしょう。神様に栄光があるようにすべてが創造されたわけです。そして今の状態は一時的でしょう。今は永遠に続くはずではありません。神様はその永遠の存在を用意してますので、今は本当に学ぶために、そして神様に仕えるために私たちはこの世に置かれている。今の状態はメインではない。メインはこれからでしょう。それはまあクリスチャンに対して素晴らしい希望ですよ。いつもより良いものは後で来る。でそれはもうずっと続けるわけです。今より良い日が来る。今より良い約束が来ます。まあ、イエス様は父が亡くなりましたが、さらに良い父が表されています。イエス様の本当の父はとヨハネ福音書の中でしょっちゅう話しているわけです。そして私たちも正しいなのに大変なことがありますけど、神様の、計画の中でまあそういうものです。まあ結婚式の時も私たちはみんな自分の父親の家を出て結婚しなければなりませんので、まあ全ての人はある程度そういう経験を受けるでしょう。しかしイエス様は、結婚式で始めたのは彼は創造主であること、創世記で行ったように今はまた同じように行うということを示しています。さあ私たちは神様を、イエス様を創造主として認めているでしょうか。私たちは創造主自体を認めているでしょうか。よく考えてみるとこの時代には、神様を否定する人はどんどん増えています。今特に結婚が、攻撃されているでしょう。まあ、同性愛、LGBT、そういうものは全部神様に敵対するようになるものです。私たちはどれだけ神様を断っているか はよくヨハネの福音書に出てきます。ヨハネの福音書の一章の方は10節書いているのは一章10節、この方は元から世におられ、世はこの方によって作られたのに、世はこの方を知らなかった。この方はご自分のところに来られたのに、ご自分の民はこの方を受け入れなかった。もう本当にそうです。今でも世界は私たちの創造主を受け入れてない同性愛を進めることによって、妊娠中絶を進めることによって、安楽死を進めることによって、神様の、自然な命令に逆らうことによって、この世が神様を非常に反抗しているわけです。なのにイエス様が来られましたそして私たちは今あらゆるところで実は神様と全然違う心があります。私たちの考えはまだ神様の考えではないのに、神様はそれでも私たちを愛して私たちを救うために来ています。私たちは神様を嫌っているのに、神様はそれでも私たちを愛します。そして最初はそういう無条件の愛を神様は表しているわけです。子供は親がいなければ子供はいない。具体的に結婚がなければ、具体的物質的に結婚がなければ私たち誰もいないでしょう。そのように創造主がいなければ私たちはいるわけではありませんので、イエス様はそれで結婚式で始めた。結婚式は神様の方法、私たちの生き方も神様は最初からこのように生きなさいと神様はおっしゃっています。あらゆる自由を与えながら、しかしこの道歩みましょう、この道歩んでくださいと神様は言っています。はい、そしてじゃあ最初のポイントで私たちはちょっと心に留めることは、私たちは創造主を本当に認めているでしょうか。神様はこんなものか、神様はあんなものだろうじゃなくて、神様はいるわけです。私たちを救ったわけです。そして私たちは神様を求めなければならない。神様いなかったら私たちもいないということを考えたら、やっぱり人生は変わる。そして神様がこのように生きなさい、このような形で生きなさいというときに、私たちはそれを認めるかどうか。やっぱりヨハネの福音書の中のユダヤ人が大幅それを断った。しかし光を愛している者はイエス様のところに来て、神様に言われる通りに生きていきます。どうか私たちの心をも神様に従うような心が与えられるように求めましょう。そして自分の父を失って、そしてこの奉仕、私たちを救う奉仕のために来ました。まずイエス様は自分の父のところから離れて、そしてこの地上の父を失ってから私たちを救うためにこの奉仕をしました。神様はすでに一番最初から私たちを救う代価を払ってくださった。あんなに私たちを愛しています。そして私たちは反応しているかどうか、それはイエス様の最初の印は結婚式で表された理由ではないかと思います。 Okay, so let's begin in English. The first part, we're looking at John chapter 2 and we're going to read from verse 1 to 12. So I'll just read it quickly. John chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. But when the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. Okay, so we began last week on our study through John. And John chapter 1 showed us all of the aspects, all of the themes that are going to appear in the book of John. Pretty much everything that comes in John was there in chapter 1. He's the creator, he's the light, he is the one who came but was rejected. A lot of the aspects, the major themes that continue through the book are right there from the beginning. But what we have here is the first sign. Now, in the book of John, there are 7 signs. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, there are many miracles, but the ones in John are not miracles as such, they're signs. Now, they may be miracles, but they are a miracle designed to demonstrate something very important. That's why they're not miracles, they're signs. It doesn't say this was his first miracle here in this translation. It uses the word sign. And we see the word sign used a lot more in the book of John. Now, depending on the translation you use, it may have the word miracle there in English. But actually, there's a different word for a wonder, a sign, and a miracle. And in the book of John, it's mostly signs. Jesus shows many signs. Because of these signs, many believed. A sign is designed to show something. Now, people may not recognize it, but it is there to teach some important point. So why did Jesus begin his first sign here at a wedding? That's what we're going to talk about today. It's going to include aspects of Jesus as the creator, Jesus as the savior, and then faith. So first of all, God began his work in creation as with man, in bringing us together in a wedding. And all of us are here because of that wedding. The wedding of Adam and Eve is the cause that caused all of us to be here today. Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing that came to be was created that wasn't created by him. He was the creator of everything. There's nothing here that's not here because, except for God's creation. And yet, he came to his own, but his own didn't know him, and his own didn't receive him. He came to his country, and his country rejected him. He came into the world, and the world didn't know him. That is the nature of God. When a child is born, they have a mother and a father. Now, they may not know their mother and their father. They may not understand the wedding. Sometimes they weren't even married. They were physically married, but they might not be socially married. But the child doesn't understand all that when he's young. Nevertheless, he couldn't have been here without that wedding. So what Jesus is doing here, he's showing that he is the creator. He begins his ministry at a wedding to show that he is the same creator that was there in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve. Now it is the wedding at Cana, and he's going to perform this sign. It mentions twice Mary here. It doesn't mention Joseph, of course. The other books often mention Joseph. In John, it emphasizes the fact that his father is not there. Later on in the book of John, the Jews say, "Where is your father?" They know that Joseph is not there. Where was Joseph? Jesus didn't have his father. Obviously, Joseph had died already. Jesus left his true father in heaven to come to this world to save us. But then he had to leave his earthly father, Joseph, his stepfather, we might say, in order that he, as the Son of God, can be manifested. He was the Son of the Father. In the book of John, there's a lot of this dialogue that Jesus talks about. "I came to do my Father's will. I only do what I see my Father doing." John emphasizes Jesus as the Son of God. That's why it doesn't begin with a genealogy like the other Gospels do, you know, except for Mark. Matthew shows Jesus the son of Abraham, the son of David. Luke shows Jesus the son of Adam. But in John, he came down from heaven. He's the Son of God. And so in order for us to have our salvation, Jesus had to leave his father. He had to lose his father. He had to pay the cost of losing his father in order that he could come and save us. In a wedding, in a sense, people have to repeat that. We have to leave our parents and all of the comforts and the culture and the life that we've known in order to go out and be joined to someone else. That's, in effect, what Jesus has done for us. He's left his home. He's left his safety. He's left everything he had to come to save us. And yet, the people of the world don't know him. Right. Today, weddings are attacked. Homosexuality is just rampantly exploding around the world now, in ways that would have been unthinkable 100 years ago. There are some countries in the world where, you know, you've got to be really careful about what you call people, because if you use the wrong pronoun, you're going to be in big trouble. And it's just getting crazy. All of that is a direct rejection of God, because God created people male and female, and he created them to be married. Now, not everyone gets married, but that's the natural order that God created. When we try our best to find another way besides God's way, we're effectively rejecting his plan for our life. There are many reasons people do this, right? Just as there are many reasons that someone might leave their family and go off with someone else. Maybe they want more fun, maybe they want more money, maybe they want more security. But it's a terrible thing. It's a sin. And so it is with the world today. We demonstrate that we don't know God by continually rejecting his way for our life. Marriage is one good example, and that's why in these last days, all over the world, LGBT is exploding, because man does not want to follow God. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. That's the history of the world. And yet, he still loves us. So think about this. Do you know Jesus as the Creator? He is the Creator of the world. Do you know him as our Lord? A Lord is the one who commands. Now, God gives us all manner of freedom. He never pushes us to do his will at all. And he says, come to me because I'm going to carry you through this life. I'm going to give you an easy load to carry, not a hard load. He's not a hard master, but he does have a way, and he calls us to walk that way. Most people, unfortunately, don't want to walk in the way of God. They reject his lordship over this world. But there will be a limit to that. This is not an eternal life right now. This is a temporary situation, and the eternity is coming. One of the greatest things about us as a Christian is there's always better to come. It's always coming soon. Okay, so Jesus is the Creator. That's the first aspect of this first sign that he does. The next one, we're going to look at him in the aspect of salvation. Hey, so this, 創造主, 最初は創造主, この建立で行われた印は創造主を表すための印でした。奇跡はあります。不思議がありますけど、ヨハネは印をよく伝えています。不思議と奇跡と印は違うものです。で、まあ、ある時々、その、まあ、例えば、足の絵の人を癒した場合は、まあ、それは不思議と奇跡と、印ですよ。ですけど、印は主に何かを伝えるために、何かを示すためになされていること。ヨハネは7つの印があります。ので、この印はイエス様の創造主であることそして救い主であることを表しています。じゃあ、なぜでしょう。ちょっと続けて読みましょう。3節から、葡萄酒がなくなると母イエスは、母はイエスに向かって、葡萄酒はありませんと言った。するとイエスは母に言われた。女の方、あなたは私と何の関係がありますか? 私の時がまだ来てません。まあそれはよくヘブライ語の、まあ、中東のフレーズですけど、何の関係はありますか、どういうことですか。私の時はまだ来てません。ヨハネの中では時がよくありません。イエス様はもう決まっている時に決まっている技を行うために来ました。で、時はほとんどイエス様が栄光を受けること、イエス様は栄光を受けるためにこの印をしなかった、教えるためにしました。イエス様はこれを公に自慢しましたわけではなかった。彼は密かにやった。本当に関わっている人しか知らなかったこの奇跡ですけど、イエス様が栄光を受けるのは十字架の上です。そして蘇った時、しかし母は9時 の者たちに言った、方に言われることは何でもしてください。6節、そこにはユダヤ人の清めのしきたりによって石の、水がめが6つ置いてあった。それぞれ2つあるいは3メトレテス入りのものであった。はい、そして、まあ、まずは、それをいっぱいにしました。いっぱいにしたのは彼はマジックではないもう半分混ぜて半分が水で、あと何か入れて混ぜたわけではない。彼は完全に水に入れましたけど、イエス様はそれを良いブドウ酒に変えた。しかもそれはめちゃくちゃ美味しいブドウ酒みたい。仕切る人は こんな良いものは最後に、なんで最後に残しただろうと花婿に言いました。まあ彼はどういう奇跡ですけど、どういうことを表しているでしょう。まずはヨハネと創世記は直接関係あります。初めに言葉があった、初めに神は天地を創造した。本当にもうそのテーマが繰り返されている。しかしこの中では6つの石の水がめ、人間はよく聖書の中で石の水がめと例えられている。なぜなら私たちも何かが入っている、この世の考え方か、私たちは神様の考えに満たされている、この世の霊、この世の影響に満たされているか、神様の霊に満たされている。神様は、私は自分の聖霊をあなたの中に入れて私たちを満たします。そしてそれが溢れるほど入ります。6というのは、人間は、人類は6日目に創造されたので、この6つの水がめ、石の水がめ、そして神イエス様はブドウ酒を入れたのは、まあアダムの創造ということを表している。まあ結局神様の私たちに対する予定は私たちを救うことです。救われるということは何でしょう。この世の影響を取って神様の聖霊を私たちに入れることです。後でヨハネでは私は父にいる、父は私たちの中にいます、そしてイエス様は聖霊を送ります、そして聖霊は私たちの中に宿ります。まあ私たちは住まいみたい、住まい、家 のようなものです。そして神様はその中に暮らしているわけです。私たちはそのために創造されている。神様は私たちの中にいる、そして私たちの心は神様の考えに変えられるように、私たちの行動は神様は行動するようなもの、まあ車の運転手のようなものです。車はありますけど、運転手は全てを決めます。そしてまあそのために車を買っている。そして私たちは神様を宿らせるために創造されている。 じゃあ水はまあ普通のものとして認めましょう。ヨハネによくそのようにあります。水と霊によって生まれることです。水は普通、ブドウ酒は特別。私たちは普通の平凡なみんなと同じような人生を送ってはなりません。そのために創造されているわけではない。皆さんはもうみんなと一緒じゃなくて、神様の目的をもたらすために創造されましたので、そうしなければもう本当に命の意味を失ってしまった。しかし大体の人はもうみんなと一緒に、流れていってしまう。みんなは学校行くから学校行きます。みんなは仕事するから仕事します。みんなは大学行くから大学に行きます。まあ別にみんなが行くから悪いわけではないけど、でも何のためにやっている。私たちみんなやるからじゃなくて、神様に召されているかどうか、それぞれの人みんなさん、神様の導きを受け入れましょう。自分が何のために創造された、何の働きをするために創造された。実は神様は特別な計画があります。しかしそれを見出すのは、この世の考えを捨てて神様の考えを受け入れること、それからもう本当の命の意味を受けることができます。たまにはそれは低いこと人を従うこと、人に仕えること、身分の低い働きをするのに私たちは創造された。まあそれでもいい。ある人には社会的に大きなことをするように創造された、それでもいい。とりあえず聖霊によって導かれましょう。じゃなかったら命の意味はなくなってしまいます。はい、私たちは神様の聖霊に満たされているでしょうか。それを防ぐのは頑固、どうしても自分のやりたいことをやります。それか恐れ、みんなやるから私もやります、ちょっとみんなと違うわ、いや、じゃあ私たちは全然神様に従うことはできません。絶対にみんなじゃなくて神様の前に、神様を見つめてどのように導かれているかを毎日繰り返して繰り返してあらかじめに考えましょう。今日は何のため何の技をするように、今日はどんなことを考える、どんなことを学ぶ、どんなことを行うために神様を導かれているでしょう。神様に心を与えてから、神様に耳を傾けてから、そして神様の言うことを聞いて神様の御心を受け入れる、それは命の意味です。はい、酒に酔うことはその反対酒に酔うことはもう絶対に神様の声を聞くことができなくなる。そして自分の行動を自分すら支配できなくなる。だからお酒ではなくて聖霊に満たされましょう。この世の考えではなくて神様の考えで満たされましょう。もちろん聖書の中に酒がいっぱいあります。現代のクリスチャンは絶対にお酒飲んではならないという人もいますけど、でも明らかに昔の中東では酒を飲むのは習慣ですよ。しかし聖書は同時に酔うことを大変な罪としていますので、この酒は明らかにアルコールの部分が少なかった。イエス様は酒をこの席で作りましたので、それは喜ぶぐらいですけど酔うほどではありません。はい、あとまた後で今日ではないね、来週に、再来週か、再来週にこの6つの水亀のもう一つの奥義が隠されている、面白い興味深いことですけど、再来週の話でもう一回このところを見ます。今日はとりあえず人を救うために イエス様が来たということを示しています。また楽しんでください。楽しみにしましょう。はい。 Okay, so the next aspect of this miracle, this sign, sorry, not a miracle, it's a sign, because that's why it's here, is that Jesus came to be the Savior, to save us. He filled the wine, he changed the water pots into wine. Let's have a look at verse 2. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" Actually, that's a very nice, polite English translation. Actually, literally it says, "What have you to do with me?" but that's a Middle Eastern kind of an expression. It's just basically saying, this is not of my concern. My hour has not yet come. The whole of the book of John is talking about his hour. What does he mean by that? Well, most of the time when he says his hour had not yet come, they tried to arrest him, but he walked away because his hour had not yet come. They just slipped through their hands. Or they tried to arrest him, but no one was able to arrest him and lay hold of him because his hour had not yet come. What he's talking about here is the time that he would go to the cross. Jesus' glorification was going to the cross, fulfilling God's will, and then being resurrected. But now was not the time for that. At the moment, he's teaching a lesson. He's not out there to make a name for himself. Jesus didn't come so that everyone would come and worship him. Most of the things he did in secret. When he went to the cross, he became a sign for the world, and after that he was glorified. But at this stage, he's teaching. Yeah, this sign was done for teaching. What is it done to teach? Well, there were 6 water pots, and they were used for purification. Now, we'll talk about this in 2 weeks' time, because we're going to come back to this point later, because it kind of deals with the next stage of John. So there's kind of two aspects to this, and 2 mysteries here. One of them we'll talk about today, the other one we won't, okay? So the first one is, he changes that water into wine. 6 stone pots. In the book of John, we see Jesus as the creator. Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In John, in the beginning was the Word, and he created all things. In Genesis, he separates the darkness and the light. In John, it says he was the true light that came into the world, but the world didn't know him. You've got this repeating pattern between Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1. Well, here we have 6 stone pots. God created man on day 6, and he created us from the ground. Adam means in Hebrew, dirt. That's what Adam means. Adama, it means dirt. It also means red dirt. And then he breathed into him his spirit, and Adam became a living person. So here, he takes 6 stone pots, and he takes the water, the natural, and puts the supernatural into them, the wine, and they become a picture of salvation. God created us to be saved. That's why he made us. He didn't create us to live without him. If we live without God, we're wasting our life. He created us to be filled with his spirit. The trouble is, we have to come to God. We have to accept God. Now, God is always there, always waiting to fill a person's life. He wants to take out of us the ways of the world and put into us his ways. He wants to take out of us our sin and put into us his Holy Spirit. But he wants us to come to him and ask him to do it. Just as like with the government, if you want to get this 300,000 yen this month from the government for the corona, you've got to apply for it, right? They're not just going to give it to you. You've got to apply for it. Well, so it is with Christ. He wants to save us, but he's asking us to come to him to be saved. Now, water represents the natural. We don't want to live a natural life. We don't want to live a normal life. What is it to live a normal life? To live a normal life means to go through your entire education without ever considering that God is the creator of maths, and maths was designed by God to run God's world. Science is studying what God did, but we can learn science and never consider that God is at the center of everything. We could learn history and never understand that all of history is there to show what God is doing and teaching to the nations. We could learn geography and never consider that God is the one who has put the nations in their places for a purpose, and he's teaching us through that. Now, God doesn't force this knowledge upon us. He wants us to think and come to him and listen. Just as, like, you know, like a philosopher, he doesn't force people to come, but his students come and listen to what they say and think. But if you're just there for fun, you're not going to get much out of it. So God wants us to open our eyes in this life. He has a purpose for us. He has a way for us. He doesn't want us to follow the world. The world, go to school and go to university and get a job because everybody does it. But what are we supposed to do? We should do what God wants us to do. Now, maybe that means go to school, go to university, and get a job. Maybe that's what it is for you. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's something else. Maybe people usually do those things because they don't want to be different. Maybe they want to do it because they don't trust God's plan for their life, God's provision for their life. God wants us to lay aside that fear. Don't worry what the world is doing. What is God calling you to? I guarantee God promises that whatever he calls you to do, he will provide what you need to do it. There's no way, there's nothing that God will ever call you to and he won't give you what you need. He will, but he wants you to lay it down. Come to him, get his will, get his vision, find out his purpose for you, and then do it. That's what makes us different. That's why we need to be saved. If we live a normal life, we miss out on everything that God has planned for us to do. Why do people do it? Because of fear. They don't want to be different. Because of pride. They don't want to let anyone else control or make the decisions in their life. I decide what I want to do. Nobody tells me what to do. That's the rock and roll message. Do what you want to do. Be what you want to be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what the world sings. That's the hymns of the world. But it's not the celebration of a believer. A believer says, God, you tell me what you want me to do because you're the one, you're God, you know all things, you have a purpose for me, and I will do it. That's the way that we are called to live. And there's no greater life than the one he calls us to do. Now, the opposite of being filled with the Spirit, of course, is being filled with strong drink, being filled with wine. Jesus created the water, the wine here, but obviously the Bible teaches there was wine drinking was very common in the Bible. It was very normal in the Middle East. In fact, right through history, everyone drank beer in Europe on a daily basis. We read often books from a couple of hundred years ago. In America, everyone drank beer. That was a normal drink. But it obviously wasn't strong because they weren't all drunk all day, right? Drunkenness was always a sin. And yet people drank alcohol regularly, so it obviously had a very light amount of alcohol in it. Nevertheless, Jesus changed this into very, very good wine. But when we get drunk and we give up the ability to choose and make our own decisions and listen to God and do the right thing, we just give up. We give up on being different. We give up on everything God has planned for us. Don't let the world's drunkenness come to you and take your mind off God's will. Don't let the world steal you away from the great purpose God has for you. Okay, as I said, there's another really important aspect of this which we'll look at in the next time we look at John. I think Stephen will teach next week, so probably it'll be 2 weeks later. Hey, じゃあ the last one we'll look at is faith. はい、そして最後にあの信仰。神、この印はあのまず創造、そして救い、そして信仰を教えるためにあのイエス様はなされました。はい、どういうことでしょう。あの11節、イエスはこれを最初の印としてガリラヤのカナで行い、この自分の栄光を表された。そしてあの弟子たちはイエスを信じたと書いています。はい、しかしあの一章の最後のところもう一回見てください。一章の50節と51節、イエスは答えられた。あなたがイチジクの木の下にいるのを見た。 と私は言ったから信じるのですか？それよりも大きなことをあなたは見ることになります。そして言われた、誠に誠にあなた方に言います、天が開けて神の御使いたちが人の子の上を上り下りするのをあなた方は見ることになります。またこの中にすっごい奥義が隠されている。そしてまたそれも再来週話しますけど、しかしここでナタニエルはまあその時にすごい人もう私は木の下で多分祈っている時と考えている時に、でも人は私の心の思いまで知ってる、びっくりした、もうこれこそ神、神の子、イスラエルの王だと彼は宣言しました。で、イエス様は、これで信じるか？それ、さらに大きなことを見せるよと言いました。そして、一章で、イエス様のことを聞いて、求めに行って、先生、どこにお泊まりですか？イエス様もう見に来てくださいと言って、私従ってください。そして彼らは従いました。それからイエス様はもっと深く信じるためにこの行いを与えました。この印を与えました。どういうことでしょうか？信仰はそういうものです。信仰という言葉はギリシャ語ではエムナという言葉ですよ。エムナ。で、エムナは、アーメンという言葉。アーメンは確かという意味です。確かに。まあ、祈りの終わったな、祈りが終わった時に、はい、確かなことですという。アーメンというのは賛成ということですけど、エムナという、まあ、ごめんなさい。それはヘブライ語ですね。ギリシャ語では ありません。ヘブライ語。ギリシャ語ではピスティスという言葉です。しかしその意味は同じ。その意味は真実、信じる、忠実、信仰と証拠、証拠という意味も含まれています。だから信仰と証拠は反対ではありません。この世の中では多くの人は、まあ、証拠があればそれは科学的、信仰だったらそれは宗教、信仰と科学は混ぜてはならないと、そのようなことを言いますけど、実は本当聖書が伝えている信仰は、証拠はその中に隠されています。まあ入っています、込まれていますので、イエス様は彼らがさらに信じるために証拠を与えました。しかし最初は聞き従ってほしい。これまで見せたので信じなさい。信じましょう。さらに大きなことを見せます。それで従っている人たちにもっと大きな印を与えて、そしてもっと大きな印を与えた。信仰はそういうものです。最初は、まあ、神様はこれを見せてくださったから信じますけど、でも信じないものはもうそれで終わりけど、信じるものは後でもっと確かな証拠が表されています。まあいつもそうです。どんどん確かになる。私たちの神様の幻はどんどんはっきりなります。はい、ちょっと比べてみてください。ヨハネ4章、これはカナで行われたことですけど、カナという町、次にカナでもう一つの印が、イエス様の第二の印が、またカナで表されました。見てください。4章の46から54。はい。4章の46から。イエスは再びガリラヤのカナに行かれた。イエスは水をブドウ酒にされた場所である。だから、つながっているわけです。ヨハネはわざとつなげている。さて、カプナウムにある王室の役人、まあ、地位の高い人がいて、その息子が病気だった。その人はイエスがユダヤからガリラヤに来られたのを聞いて、 あの、イエスのところに行った。そして下ってきて、息子を癒してくださるように願った。息子が、あの、死にかけていたのである。イエスは彼に言われた。あなた方は印と不思議を見ない限り、決して信じません。まあ、ある人、イエス様は彼の心を分かっていた。だからこそ、公に印をしなかった。なぜなら、印を見たから信じる信仰は本当の信仰ではありません。イエス様が求めている信仰は正しいから求めている。心に神様の聖霊が語っているの、一致しているから信じることです。なんかすごいことを見たからじゃなくて、あ、もう心の、あの、よく考えるときに確かにそうですね。確かにそうです。私は聖書を読み出したときに、まあ、創造論で、まあ、進化論が根本のないことを見つかったら、すごい興味を持ち出したけど、でも実は本当の信仰が見出したのは、聖書を読むとき。なぜなら、イエスの言葉を聞いたら、すごいな、それは神様の言葉です。人間がそんなことは語れないなと。心の中で思った。それからすごい大きな、まあ、予言の成就とか、あの、また科学のことをいっぱい見て確かな証拠が見せられたけど、でも最初はイエス様の教え、自分の偽善じゃなくてイエス様の正しさを見て、それを認める、その信仰を求めています。そしてイエス様はもう今頃は彼らも慣れていて、 なかなか印がなかったら信じません。まあ、49節、王室の役人はイエスに言った。主よ、どうか子供が死なないうちに、あの、下ってきてください。その人はもう絶対にイエス様は癒せると信じていた。イエスは彼に言われた。行きなさい。あなたの息子は治ります。それは信仰が必要。なぜならもうその場で癒したなら、それは簡単に信じるけど、でも大丈夫、もう帰ってください、大丈夫ですから。本当？しかしその人は、イエスに、イエスが語った言葉を信じて帰っていった。彼はイエス様の言葉を信じた。行いを見たわけではない、イエス様の言葉を信じていた。彼が下っていく途中、しもべたちが彼に迎えに来て、彼の息子が、あの、治ったことを告げた。子供が良くなった時刻を尋ねると、彼らは、あの、昨日の、第7の時、あの、に熱が引きましたと言った。1時ぐらい、父親はその時刻があなたの息子が治るとイエスは言われた時刻だと知り、彼自身も家の者たちもみんな信じた。イエスは、あの、ユダを去って、あの、ガリラヤに来てから、これを第二の印として行われていた。だからカナで最初の二つの印は何のために、弟子たちに本当の信仰を与えるため の、 あの、印です。まずイエス様の言うことを信じる人には確かな証拠が与えられる。しかしイエス様の言うことを聞けない人は何の証拠は与えられません。だからこの世の人たちは、いや、神様なんていないでしょうと。でも神様の言うこと、心の良心に神様は語っているけど、彼らは聞きたくない。そして目が見えなくて、あの、どんな証拠があっても彼らは認めることができません。しかし神様の御声を受け入れてへりくだっている人、本当に自分の地位よりも自分のプライドよりも神様の真実は何でやろうか、あの、求める人は後ですごい証拠が、あの、与えられます。それは神様の方法です。ので、あの、今まで神様があなたに与えた御言葉をよく、あの、心に抱きましょう。それを信じる人にはさらにすごい大きな、証拠が与えられます。イエス様は最初にそのように、 印を行ったわけです。はい。そしてまあ信仰と真実、忠実は同じ言葉でピステスという、まあ、あと関係ある言葉ですから、彼らはその時にイエスたちは信じて行きました。ここでイエス様は、まあ、ちょっと背景を説明します。結婚式に私たちは、まあ、家族とか払うでしょう。日本ではまあ大体みんな3万円とか5万円を持ってくるでしょう。昔はこういう形でした。結婚式は結婚する人たちは食べ物とブドウ酒を用意します。それはすごいお金かかると思いますけど、でも来る人は結構大きな金額を持ってくる、大きなプレゼントを持ってくる。そしてあと、その役人とかその町の、まあ、偉い人たちはまたすごい大きな金額を持ってきます。しかし結婚式に結婚した人たちもまたそっち の, 家族の結婚式行った時に同じぐらいの金額のプレゼントを持っていく必要がありました。後で。だから もし受けたよりも低いものを与えたらそれは恥ずかしいことでした。ただし金持ちとかその町の長老たちは、まあ、金を持っている人はもう返される必要はありません。で貧しい人たちは何も持ってこなくてもよかった。でそのためにまあ、やっぱり人間は人間で罪深いものですから、その時代でもずるい人たちもいました。結婚式でたくさんの人はたくさんのお金を持ってくることを期待して、でも後でちゃんと返さない人もいます。だから人をまあ結局騙しているわけです。たくさんプレゼントをもらうけど返す気がない。でそのためにその結婚式で例えば自分があんまりやる気がなくて十分食べ物とかブドウ酒を用意しなかった場合、それなのにいっぱい人を誘ってプレゼントいっぱいもらうのにちゃんとしたものを出せなかったら、それは違法です。そしてその場合はもう裁判に取られることもあるそうです。のでこの時にブドウ酒がなくなったら、私たちはまあブドウ酒がなくなった、みんなよく飲んだなというぐらい読みますけど、実はそれは大変な恥ずかしいことです。イエス様はここでその人をあんまりにも大きな奇跡をしました。その人を助けた。なぜなら自分の評判はもうその場で最初から低くなる、恥ずかしいこと、もしかしたら裁判で取られることでもあり得るので、このことは、まあ、その人その夫婦をすごく助けました。イエス様はここで憐れみ深い行動をしました。そして誰にも言わない、そのしもべたちだけ、弟子たちだけがその奇跡を見ました。夫婦は知らなかったし、その役人も知らなかったし、他の客さんも知りませんでした。イエス様の身近にいる人たちだけが知っていました。そしてイエス様は、まあ、ガリラヤ、それはイエス様の周辺、イエス様の地元の村です。のでイエス様は弟子たちに何を教えていたかというと、これこそ忠実です。これこそイエス様が私たちに導いている信仰です。人を何も返してもらわなくても与えること、人を親切にすること、自分のものを分けることです。そしてその上に良いことをしたら別に言わなくてもいい。誰か助けても他の人に言う必要はない。何も良いことをしても言う必要はない。神様が知っています。それで十分。 自分が命を受けなくても良いことをできるんですか？自分のものなのに分け与えることができますか？そしてしかもそれは地元、自分の身近なサークルで親切することができる。例えば兄弟が忘れて仕事をして、でも何も言わないことはできる。お前の仕事だろ、忘れたんでしょとか言わずにただやって満足できる。それは難しいけど、その信仰を私たちも持てるようにイエス様は模範を用いました。今コロナのためにたくさんの人たちはもう自分の自由を捧げて他の人を助けるために召されているでしょう。大体今はほとんどの国ではもう家であまり出られないでしょう。だから他の人が病気かからないように自分の楽しい生活を捧げることはどういうことでしょう。もしかしたら神様は私たちにそのレッスンを今もう世界中にそのレッスンを教えようとしているだと思います。私たちはそのレッスンを心に留めましょう。何のために生きている、他の人を助けるために、神様の道を学びながら他の人を愛する、他の人を助ける、自分の財産を蓄えるためではなくて人を祝福するために私たちは召されています。はい、さあこれでイエス様は最初からこういう印を示して本当の信仰を見せました。イエス様は創造主、イエス様は救い主、そしてイエス様は信仰を忠実で信仰を教えるものです。私たちは創造主を出会ったことあるでしょうか？救われたことありますか？聖霊に満たされているでしょうか？毎日そして信仰を持っているでしょうか？それは私たちの人生に関して神様の目的です。 OK, so last point, we come to the purpose of this, the final purpose of this miracle. Jesus is the creator, so he began with a wedding. Jesus is the savior, so he turned those six pots and made them containers of wine, something like a man is a container of the Holy Spirit. But finally, the final point, Jesus is teaching us about faith. Creation, salvation is God's work, but faith involves our cooperation. We don't need to cooperate to be born, or created, or saved even, but we do need to cooperate to be faithful, and we do need to cooperate to have faith. So let's have a look at what Jesus did here. Just to explain the background here, Jesus did this miracle. It says in chapter 2, verse 11, this, the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, but only to his disciples, right? His disciples believed in him. The purpose of this was so that his disciples would believe in him. Just look back quickly at chapter 1, verse 50 and 51. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, talking to Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. See, to the believer, it starts with a small faith. It starts with recognizing God and recognizing God's voice when he speaks to our heart. And if we are willing to listen to God's word when he speaks to us, then he will show us greater works, greater miracles. Now, faith in Hebrew and in Greek, the Old Testament word and the New Testament word, doesn't only mean to believe something. It also means evidence. It also means something that is reliable. And so it means faithful, faithful, something that you can trust. And so God gives us faith. God increases our faith, not just by asking us to believe without any reason, but by giving us reason to believe. But it doesn't start like that. It first starts with a small thing. Jesus gives us this, he expects us to believe. But then if we believe, he gives us greater and greater and greater works. When I was first a Christian, it wasn't the creation and evolution that really convinced me so much, it was the words of Jesus. When Jesus spoke to me through the Bible, that was really what powerfully spoke to me and changed my life. And then, since that day, I've had more than 20, but I've had 27 years or something of amazing signs, amazing evidence, amazing proof. I can't explain all the wonderful things God has shown me, all the reasons that God has given me to see how absolutely amazing and true and reliable His Word is. But it doesn't begin like that. You don't see 20 years worth of those things and say, all right, finally, that's enough, I finally believe now. No. It only can begin when God speaks to you and you respond to Him. Then He gives you the evidence. What happens here? Look at, this was done in Cana, but look at chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, and Jesus did the second sign also in Cana. Chapter 4, verse 46. So He came again to Cana in Galilee, where He had made the water wine. Notice that John specifically joins and connects these two things. The first and the second miracle were done at the very same place, because they're teaching the same thing. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." Now you have to understand, the people in Jesus' town had been to Jerusalem and they'd seen Jesus do miracles in Jerusalem. But this was the second sign that he did at his hometown in Cana. Okay? And he knew in the hearts of these people believe just because they see great things. But I don't want them to believe because they see healings and miracles. I want them to believe because what I'm teaching is the truth. You know, people who believe because they see miracles will quickly believe when they see something else. People who believe when they see some sign or wonder will believe anything. But people who actually believe because they recognize the truth of God's word, they don't even need the sign, but Jesus gives them amazing signs to show that He is true. Now this man, let's look at what happened to him. Verse 49, the official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Notice this man did not get a miracle, he got a word. He got a promise from God. And he had to use faith because he knew, well, this is the great teacher, this is the Messiah, this is the one who has done wonders. But will he do it now for me? And he believed. Then, verse 51, as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." And the father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and his whole household. Notice it says twice here. First he believed. He believed what? That his son would get healed. But the second time he believed, I think this is talking about salvation. It says here, his whole household believed. They became faithful followers of the Messiah, faithful followers of God, because Jesus had given them an amazing sign in response to their faith. Jesus wants you to believe because He's true, not because you see some evidence. But He does give evidence. But first we have to receive the truth. If you're not willing to receive the truth of God's word, no matter what you see, you won't believe. And even if you do see it and believe, that faith is very weak. You'll walk away from it. You'll lose it. But those who recognize the truth of what God is saying, the truth of who God is, they're the ones who really, their faith will grow because Jesus will give them later many greater signs. Jesus is doing this to give us a deeper faith. He concentrates at first upon his close followers. Now, he's also an example of the way that Christians are supposed to live. Faith and faithfulness. When we look at this wedding, it's important to understand the context. In these days, when you had a wedding, this was the way it worked. The family would invite many people. The family had to provide enough food and wine for everybody. But the people also who came were expected to bring sizable gifts, not little gifts like we give someone, here's a toaster, here's a fridge magnet. They had to give something, you know, decent, something big. Now Jesus here, this is six pots with, say, 30 gallons. I mean, 1 gallon is about 4 liters, so that's about 120 liters, or say 100 to 120 liters. And there were six of them, so we're talking 600 liters of wine, and that was really good wine. That's a pretty expensive gift. And that's about the amount that one of the dignitaries, one of the nobles of the town, would bring. The nobles would bring gifts, and they would not expect anything in return. The regular people would bring gifts, but there was an obligation that next time you went to their party or you went to their wedding, you had to take the same value gift in return. Mm-hmm. You couldn't take something cheap. That was shameful. Poor people could, they didn't have to bring a gift. They could eat and drink freely. That was the culture of the time that John is written in. I read that last week in a commentary on John written by a Palestinian Christian, and he was explaining some of the cultural background to this. Now, this is an important thing because when the wine ran out, that was actually, in their culture, a terrible disaster. Not just because the wine ran out, okay, well, let's find something else to drink. No, because actually, if in the old days, just like today, there were criminals and con men and people who wrought the system. And if you had all these people coming and bringing these great gifts to your house, but you in return didn't provide food and drink enough, it was like you're conning them. You're receiving all of this, you're having a wedding to get all of this great wealth, but you're not giving anything in return. And so that was actually a crime. And if that happened, a person could actually be taken to court. That was how serious it was in those days. That's what they say, the historians and commentators tell us about the culture of the times. So when the wine ran out, this was a very serious problem. We don't understand the seriousness of it in our culture today. It wouldn't just go down to the bottle shop and buy some more. But they couldn't do that then. So Jesus was actually doing here a selfless act of grace close to home. And that is the example of faith that he's calling us to. The first thing Jesus did was he prepared his disciples to believe and to have faith. And this was his first example to them. A selfless act, because he did it without getting any reputation in return for it. Nobody knew what had happened except those few disciples and a few servants. And they didn't tell anybody, obviously. Nobody knew about it. Can you do something without telling people that you did it? This is where our faith really becomes real. Because most people, whatever we do, we want to tell everyone what we've done. For example, if you do something like, for example, if Manoah finds that Elliot forgot to wash up, and then Manoah washes up for Elliot instead, it's really easy to say, hey, you forgot to wash up and I did it. And then you might even say, well, I did it for you, so you've got to do it for me on another day. But what Jesus is calling us to is a faith where we don't even have to say to the other person that, you know, you forgot to do that and I did it for you. You just do it and let it go. And in your mind, you might think, yeah, but if I don't tell them, then they're not going to learn and they won't be responsible. But that's a cover for our own pride. In reality, Jesus wants us to have a faith where we are willing to make up for what other people forget to do. We're willing to help out and cover people's shame without telling anybody. Oh, he forgot to do this, so I'm going to work for another hour and fix it up, and then I won't tell anybody. Can you do that? That's the faith God's calling us to. It's an act of grace. Jesus didn't get anything in return, and it was done close to home, very close to home. The hardest things to do are things that are close to home, in our families, among our close friends. It's the hardest. Because, you know, to people we don't know, it's easier to not say. But among our friends, it's really difficult to not say. But that's what he's calling us to do. So, these are the things that God is teaching us here in John chapter 2, in the first part. Jesus is the Creator, Jesus is the Savior, and Jesus is the one who gives us faith. Have you met him as the Creator? Most people don't. most people ignore him. They refuse to believe. Like, you gotta say, everything that I can see has a name on it. This computer has, what is it, HP written on it. My printer has HP written on it. My watch has, what is it, Casio, gonna, maybe? Casio written on it. Everything, people write their names on it, because they, this Bible, you know, this Bible has got Harvest House written on it, which printer made it. Everyone wants to put their name on things, but God doesn't. He never has to tell everybody that he made every little thing. He wants us to recognize it ourselves. All right, and so that's the thing. We've got to recognize him as the creator. He's not going to force us to believe, but he's calling us to believe. The Savior, and to have faith. All right, as I said, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to look at the next aspect of this and another aspect of chapter 2. Okay, let's pray.
祈りましょう。天の神様、あなたは創造主、あなたは救い主、あなたは忠実な信仰を絶えるもの。どうか神様、私たちの信仰を増やしてください。あなたはもうこの世に来られたのに、ほとんどの人は神様を求めない、そして無視します。どうか神様、彼らの目を開けてください。あなたは彼らを愛してます。私たちを愛してます。しかし、鈍い私たちは、 あの、よく神様の働きを見ることができません。どうか助けてください。あなたのたくさんの信仰を支えている証拠もありがとうございます。感謝します。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。